I have the kids come up. I need help singing a song. I need help singing a children's song. So come on up, kids. Don't be shy. I'm going to sing a song. All right, you can just sit on the front. Oh, yeah, you could be up right here. Perfect. Actually, how about we come up in front, right here in front, so everybody can see.
Wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. It came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. Rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the sand went. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. Oh, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. Blessings come down as the blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord.
Well, I assume you know what the Tale of Two Men are. Yeah, have that plan while we're singing the song. But Matthew 7:24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and who does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This story is also told in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Very similar phrasing between these two passages, and by my understanding of it, it appears to me that Jesus gave this parable multiple times. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, he goes up the mountain, seeing the crowds, he went up the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And this is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, ends with this parable, and chapter 8 continues, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Luke chapter 6, it says, he went to the mountain to pray, and in verse 14, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people. And later it goes on into this passage. And this is often referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And if that is the case, how fitting would it be for him to give this parable up on the mount, on the rock, and then again on the lower level, the ground? And these two men had things in common, and one key contrast that made them very different. So let's start off with how these two men were alike. The first thing is that they both had the same dream. They both wanted to build a house. Besides the physical structure of a house, it can refer to a couple different things. One, a house can refer to your life. Both men wanted to build a house, that is to build a life of substance, significance, value, a life that matters. They wanted to accomplish things with their lives. Every man and woman should want to be something, to accomplish something, to have a life of impact, a life that means something. Everyone should want to build a house. You don't just want to be here and when you're old, not see anything that you've built. And whether you know it or not, you have a purpose for your life. You were not put here by accident. God gave you the gift of life for a reason, and I'll get to that here shortly. Number two, building a house in the Bible can refer to building a family. Families throughout the Bible are called the house of, fill in the blank. You have the house of David. That means David's literal family. So building a house in the Bible can refer to building a family. No serious man walks down the aisle planning to get divorced. No serious man should be planning to abandon his children. No, you want to build a house where you and your spouse are respected and your kids grow to be mature, responsible adults. Number three, building a house in the Bible can refer to a building of faith. The temple in the Old Testament was called the house of God. The church in the New Testament is called the household of faith. The Bible talks about building the church. You want to see spiritual growth and spiritual development of the family of God because you want to build a house of ministry. Number four, building of society. Israel was called the House of Israel. In America, we have the White House or the House of Congress. What do we mean by house? We mean the representative entity that represents society. So to build a house can mean to impact the community that you live in. And both men wanted to build a house. And every man in here should want to build all four of these houses, a life that matters, a family that's strong, to be part of a house of faith, and to make an impact and contribution to society. Every man here, every person here, every Christian here should want to build a house, right? So the first thing that these two men had in common was that they wanted to fulfill their dream. The second thing that these two men had alike was that they both heard the same word. Now, if Jesus is the teacher, it's a perfect sermon. And because Jesus said they heard these words of mine, there was no flaw in that lesson. They're both listening to the same words at the same time, and the message is clear and accurate. So they both had a dream, they both heard the word, and the third commonality between these two men, they lived in the same neighborhood. Now the reason we know this is because they were affected by the same storm. And a storm in the Bible is an adverse set of circumstances. When the Bible talks about a storm, it's talking about negative events entering into your life. A storm is trouble, tribulation, or trials. A storm is something that comes on you that wants to knock you over mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's a storm in the Bible. The differences between these two men are clear. One was a wise man. The other man was a fool. There's no beating around the bush on that. That's straightforward as it gets. He's wise and he's a fool. But that also tells us something, doesn't it? A wise man can sit and listen to Jesus. A fool can sit and listen to Jesus. A wise man can build a house. A fool can build a house. A wise man can and will be in a storm, and a fool can and will be in a storm. It says the wise man built his house on a rock. It says the foolish man built his house on sand. It's talking about what they built their house on. That has to do with your foundation. That's the key difference between these two men. Your foundation is what you put your structure on, and it's always where you start because you pour your foundation first. You don't go putting on the doors first. You don't put up drywall first. You don't build together the roof and then start building up. That's not how it works. You pour the foundation first because everything is banking on the stability of that foundation. The ability of everything to hold steady is tied to solidifying a solid base. So let's talk about those two different foundations for a moment. If you build on sand, that's going to be quick, isn't it? It doesn't take a lot of time. A kid can go to the beach and put together a sandcastle in a couple seconds. But if you build on rock, that's going to take some time, right? You got to drill through that. I like how Luke phrases it. It says, he dug deep. He dug deep and laid the foundation. If you build on sand, it's going to be cheap and easy. Sand doesn't cost much. Oh, but it's going to cost you to build on rock. You see, one man was willing to put in the time to make his foundation strong. The other man was not willing to put in the work, but he still wanted the house. So what do you mean by rock versus sand? Here it is. Both men heard these words, of Jesus. But here was the key difference. It says the wise man heard these words and acted on them. It says the fool heard the words but did not act on them. If you want to build a life, a home, and have a positive impact on the people around you, your house needs to be resting on the right foundation. And that foundation is not merely information. Both the wise man and the foolish man had the information. They both had the same education. They both heard the word. The difference was that the wise man was willing to put in the work. The foolish man did not put in the work. What's that saying? Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is the understanding to not put it in fruit salad. Right? Just because you know what the word says, it doesn't mean a whole lot unless you actually apply it. Now, a lot of Christians want to try to mix rock and sand, right? They know they need God, which is rock, and they also want to have their own way of doing things, which is sand. What they want is sandy rock. But that doesn't work, does it? It's not as strong. The fundamental difference between rock and sand is rock is God's word in action, solid, unchanging, unmoving. Today, yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sand, on the other hand, is fluid, right? It's really fluid. It moves. It's comfortable, right? It's nice to walk in the sand, right? It's comfy. But sometimes it can pull you in, right? It did not become apparent who the fool was and who the wise man was until the storm came. So as long as it was sunny outside, both houses probably looked good. Both men's houses looked great. Both families probably looked solid. That is until the storm came. It was the storm that revealed who the real deal was. So let's look at the storm. It says the rain came, the flood came, and the wind blew. So whenever you have rain coming down, you have floods coming up, and a wind so strong that it can knock a house over, that's not a normal house, a normal storm, right? That's a hurricane. It's not a normal rain shower. It's a hurricane. And even here in the Midwest, you're going to run into hurricane seasons in your life. Hurricane season is not some minor trials in life. It's when your world shuts down on you. It's when everything that can go wrong does go wrong. It's that bad prognosis from a doctor. It's that unexpected death of a friend or family member. It's that moment that you can't even fathom of planning ahead. You're just trying to survive one day, 1 hour, 1 second at a time. Has anyone here ever been drowning before? When I was younger, I had a close call. When Maddie and I were kids, she didn't know any better. And she got some water in her snorkel. And she felt like she was drowning. So what did she do? She swam over to me and stood on my shoulders. And little known to her, she was drowning me. And all I could think about was trying to get back to the surface to get that next gasp of air. It was a terrible feeling. It was very unpleasant. And I can't fathom going through that again. And yet, that's what these storms in life can feel like. It's something that's devastating and can overwhelm you. It's hurricane season. And if you're alive, you're going to run into that season. I don't know everyone's situations, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are multiple people here going through that season right now. But he says, when the rain came and the flood came and the wind blew, the wise man's house stood. The wise man's house stood. And the fool's house fell because, why? They didn't start at the same place. The houses may have looked wonderful on the outside, but the storm always reveals what you're resting on. So you can fix a foundation or pour a foundation before a storm, or you can repair a foundation after a storm, but it'd be pretty difficult to fix a foundation during the storm, right? See, that's what a lot of people want to do. They look to God while they're in the storm. They didn't pour the foundation before the storm, and then they're wondering why everything's falling apart. And it's because they didn't pour that foundation first. So what do you need to do? Survive through the storm and start aligning your foundation as quick as you can so that when you get to the other eye of the hurricane, the other side of the eye of the hurricane that's about to hit you, you'll be ready for it and you will survive that storm. I love the story in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus is teaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then he tells his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. The Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles across, and it's surrounded by large hills, or little mountains, or foothills, as Kaylee would call them. And sometimes the wind will enter through those hills and funnel down into the Sea of Galilee. And in the Greek, it's called a lilos, a windstorm, and it disrupts the water tumultuously. I like Strong's definitions. There are three definitions for a lilos, according to Strong. One, a whirlwind, a tempestuous wind. Two, a violent attack of wind, a squall. And three, my favorite definition by far, never a single gust, nor a steady blowing wind, however violent, but a storm breaking forth from black thunder clouds and furious gusts with floods of rain and throwing everything topsy-turvy. That's in Strong. You gotta look that up. It's great. So while the disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, it says they encountered a lilos, an uncommonly dangerous windstorm. And these are professional fishermen, so they're used to rough seas. But this one was different. This one scared them to death. They became afraid for their lives. And while they're bailing out the water, just trying to survive, they look over and they see Jesus asleep in the stern on a pillow. I gave a lesson on humor in the Bible a couple of years ago, and I'm kicking myself for not including this passage because that's just gold. There's a hurricane happening. Everybody's fighting for their lives. And they look over and see Jesus sleeping on a boat through the hurricane. And they just had to throw in that little extra jab, asleep on a cushion. Literally translated, a pillow. He was sleeping on a pillow. I wonder if Mark was like a little bit jealous or something, like because maybe there was like only one pillow because he was asleep on the cushion. Like, did they only have one? Like, why'd they have to say sleep on the cushion? Doesn't make sense. It's just funny extra detail. And to be honest, have you ever felt like God is going to sleep on you? Like your whole world is falling apart and you're calling on heaven and the line's busy? Like Jesus isn't anywhere to be found. That's how the disciples felt. And the Bible says that they went and they woke him up. And then they asked the question that we all ask when we feel disappointed. Do you not care that we perish? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care how I'm hurting? Don't you see my tears? Don't you see how afraid I am? Don't you care about me? Because sometimes when you're in the storm, it looks like God is nowhere to be found. Like he's snoring on you. He's asleep on you. But we know that is not the case. It says Jesus gets up and says, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? What happened was the storm caused them to forget the word. Because if they would have remembered the word was with them and saw Jesus on his pillow, they would have all gotten out their pillows and had a big slumber party, knowing that they were going to be able to weather the storm no problem, right? And I find it interesting that the disciples were frustrated at Jesus for sleeping when they felt they were in danger. But later, when Jesus was actually in danger and praying in Gethsemane, they were the ones that fell asleep multiple times, the hour that he was betrayed. How easy is it for us to ignore the storms of others and not help others through it? But God does not show favoritism. We're told that in Romans chapter 2. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says that the Father makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. The point is simply this. Your foundation determines your future, and your foundation is the word of God applied, not just the word of God studied, heard, or known. He is waiting on the men to step up and be like Joshua and proclaim, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's waiting for the men to pour the foundation on which everything else can stand. But then he's waiting on all believers to apply God's truth to their lives, whether they be male or female, to see God intervene. So don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting to follow God means you will avoid storms. That's not the case. Sometimes you haven't seen it rain until you're ready to follow him. But what I am saying is that when the word of God is applied, you can withstand the storm. The wise man still had a hurricane. He didn't avoid the hurricane. He just withstood it. He didn't succumb to it because he was resting on the right foundation. And that foundation is Jesus. He is the rock. He is the cornerstone, and everything needs to be aligned according to him. Dad gave a lesson earlier this year on God's fourth house, and I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But to summarize it, God had three houses. He had the Ark of the Covenant, the Tabernacle, and the Temple. And the fourth house, that is his church. And if it's your desire to be part of that house, then you need to align yourself with the cornerstone. That is Jesus. He needs to be your foundation. He gave you life. He gave you purpose. And without him, your house will not stand when the storm comes. Build like the wise man. Build your house on the rock. And if it's your desire to serve him through confessing that you believe that he is God, that he died for you and he rose again, and you are ready to die to your sin and follow him in newness of life through baptism, or if it's your desire to realign your house on that foundation by confessing a sin that you're struggling with and could use the help of that fourth house to overcome it, please make it known as we stand and sing the closing song.